draw me near. Closer, Lord, to you. Lift the world around me. Let it fade away. Desire to worship and obey. Oh, let's sing it now. Oh, now Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you. Lift the world around me. And obey. Let's stand tonight. Oh, yes, now, Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you. Let the world around me,
let it fade
away. Amen. Jesus, draw us close. Is that your desire tonight? Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord, tell them you're glad to see them in church tonight on a Saturday night. What a privilege it is to be in church. Can you all hear anything? Can you hear anything? There's none of the avions working, Brother Brad. You know that, right? Okay. Can you do anything about it? Okay. Thank you. All right. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Can you hear anything? You can't hear anything? All right. We're breaking in a sound system tonight. Now the people that came and fixed it and put it in, I'm sure they did a good job. You'll just have to bear with us till we learn how to know which knob to turn and which one not to turn. But we will get there by the grace of God. Isn't it good to be in church tonight? Amen. Why don't you give the Lord a big hand clap of praise tonight if you love Him? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's sing that little chorus together one more time. Jesus, draw me close. Now, guys, if you can't hear, just play the best you can and do the best you can, all right? That's all we can ask of you. Oh, Jesus, draw me close. Yes, closer, Lord, to you. Oh, let the world around me let it fade away. To worship. let you be seated tonight while we look at our prayer requests. We have several that we want to tell you about tonight. Brother Junior Davis has a CT scan scheduled for Monday. He's not feeling well. Pray that he will be better so that he can take the CT scan. So we just want to hold our brother in our hearts and just pray that the Lord has certainly brought him a long ways, and we know he can do the work, Katie. Amen. Rick Fisher sends this in to please pray for my mother. She has to go to a blood specialist because her white blood count is too high, so we want to remember that prayer request tonight. Brother Keith Phillips says to please pray for a co-worker, Kim. She needs healing in her body and has an unspoken prayer request, so we'll just commit that to the Lord tonight. I want to pray for Dwayne King, who is very sick. Also, Sister King, who is unable to be in the service tonight. So let's remember that prayer request. Continue to remember Brother Tracy as he recovers from surgery. So let's pray for that need tonight. Our brother, that the Lord would just be with him. Brother Barry Coffey sent this over to the library. Says we are in Dubai right now, and Brother Anwar arrived today for our meeting. The embassies are closing here. They are on very high alert, possibly expecting trouble in a very large area. I wonder if you would mention this as a prayer request, just for God's protection over us. We do not feel like we are in any immediate danger at all, but things are on high alert wherever foreigners are. So please remember that request for Brother Barry. Also, the men's conference that he's going to be having, I believe, down in Newport, Tennessee. All that information is on the bulletin board out in the lobby. If you can find time to look at that, and if you can find time to go to that men's conference, I'm sure that you would be blessed from it. So remember that tonight. We'll remember Sister Jan Hall in prayer. She has a pinched sciatic nerve in a lot of pain, so let's pray for her that the Lord would be mindful of her. Jackson Silla, ask for prayer. He's very, very sick. He is from Africa, so let's remember that. Jackson Silla, let's remember that prayer request tonight. Brother Baker says to please pray for his wife, Sister Christine Baker, who's been having a lot of pain in her legs and feet for the last several days, so let's remember her. Brother Reese sends this in for his neighbor, Stephen Gibson. He has blood clots in his legs, so let's remember that need tonight. Then Michelle Swafford sends this in for Raquel Luna, healing from surgery. She's asking that we would remember her. Also, Penelope Luna, healing for her kidney. She's only 3 months old. And at a year old, she has to have kidney surgery, so they're asking that we would remember that need tonight. Also for the Swafford family to have a closer walk with the Lord and to be better Christians. That's my request tonight, too. Is that yours? Amen. Brother Lindell Jans wants to thank the Lord for a good doctor's report. We praise the Lord for that. Sister Mary Alice Hammett, as you know, she passed on to her reward this past week. We certainly will remember her family, Brother Calvin. That was his sister, and well, she's just a precious, precious lady in the Lord, and we're certainly, well, she's a lot better off tonight than we are. So we certainly want to pray for that family, that the Lord would just be mindful of them during their loss. Do you have an unspoken prayer request tonight? Something you'd like for this group to pray about? Do you believe we're serving a great big God? And He's got a lot of good things in store for us. Do you believe that with all your heart? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's stand tonight if you will. We're going to pray tonight. Let's just sing that little chorus, thanks. We want to give you some thanks tonight before we pray over these prayer requests. Let's sing this little chorus together. We want to say thanks, thanks. I give you thanks. All you have done. Oh, I am so blessed. My soul has found rest. Come tonight. Lead us to the Lord. Let's invite the presence of the Lord into this service. Commit all these needs unto our Father tonight. God bless you, brother.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we come before you with thanksgiving, always with thanksgiving. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come to you in prayer with our right minds in this age. Lord, I thank you so much. I reflect upon the day, and we had a little mishap on the boat today with the boys, and they got a little hurt, and I was disappointed because I hate to see them scraped up a little bit, but how thankful I am to know that what it could have been and what you've kept us from, Lord, for sometimes we don't know what it is you keep us from. You let us go so far, and then that's enough. I thank God that you are our Father and that you love us. I thank you for your revelation. I thank you for what you've done for me. I pray, Lord God, that you can make me in the image of yourself, that others may see a living Christ, a God of the living and not of the dead. Thank you, Father, for the joy in our hearts knowing you. I look forward to the service today. I thank you for the prayer requests that have been made. I thank you for the opportunity that you can come upon the scene, Lord, and help us to fall in love with you more dearly than yesterday. And I pray, Lord God, that you just keep us. Hold us in your hand. Thank you, Father, for the day. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Rob. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us tonight, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. Glad to have you here, all those that are streaming the service tonight. May God richly bless all those folks as well. We're going to sing a song tonight dedicated to the folks in Zambia, Africa. 6 hours difference. It's 1 o'clock in the morning over there, but they're going to be checking the service out. They say they really get a tremendous blessing from these services. So we pray that it'll continue to be a blessing to them. Everybody's going to be happy over there. Guys, you won't have to worry about avions over there. Just play the best you can. You played before you had them, so you can do it again. There's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond. Where the saved of earth shall soon glory share. Where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy. Sing God's praises, everybody will be happy over there. Mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers. And the Christians of all ages will join in that triumph song. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy today.
one who saved us and who kept us by His grace and who brought us to that land so bright and fair. I want to praise.
Hallelujah.
I want to praise His name forever.
Hallelujah.
And just to look upon His face. Everybody will be happy over there.
Tonight, God is our oasis. Do you believe that with all your heart tonight? In a dry, dusty land, He'll be your refreshing drink of water. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Brother Brad, if you do just a little bit more work on this monitor, I think you've just about done all you can do. I believe it'll help us. If you'll do, it's just a little bit, got too much bass on it. I don't know if there's anything you can do, but if you can, do something to that monitor right there. And God is your oasis in dry places. He makes flowers grow. Yes, God is your oasis where His grace is living water. You tonight. I'm going to let you be seated. Brother Jackie Benton's here tonight. Brother Jackie, you have us a song. You're your brother, either one there. Either one of you have us a song. He sings for us when he's here sometimes. And I don't know exactly how you have it arranged tonight, but we appreciate our brothers, don't we? Amen. God bless Brother Jackie Benton. Praise the Lord. Say it, buddy.
Been battling some hoarseness. Sat in a fellowship hall two nights. And I told the brother, I said, maybe I should sit in the fellowship hall in case they call on me to sing. And so that's why I was over there. Don't ever remember refusing to sing when I was called upon. Amen. So we'll try and you can help us. Amen. I was on the mountain, wandering from the fountain, till I heard my Savior speak to me. Oh, come to me, relenting of your sins, repenting, and I will lead you out where you can see. Oh, I'm so glad he found me. With love he found me, put his arms around me, and he led me to the shelter. Now I'm one of his own. And oh, the joy of knowing, with hearts overflowing, someday I'm going up to my home in glory. I walk the streets, hallelujah, of your I will love him ever and part from him no never, for he's the dearest friend I ever knew. And when I see him yonder, my love will still grow fonder in that happy land beyond the blue. Amen. Oh, I'm so glad he found me. With love he bound me, put his arms around me, and he led me to a shelter. Oh, now I'm one of the Lord. Hey, Lord, the joy of the Lord with us all going. Someday I walk up street, the rain, hallelujah, I'm there. Go say it one more time. Oh, I'm so glad he found me with love he bound me, with his arms around me, and he led me to a shelter. Aren't you glad he found you tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I sang a few weeks ago and I said, I believe I'm too hoarse to sing. And Brother Bartley, when I went back, he said, I thought you was hoarse. I said, well, he came through. The Lord came through. Amen. God bless you. That's right.
It's one great, wonderful thing about Jesus. He's always faithful. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 5, if you would, tonight. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. I want to speak to you tonight on the devil's picnic. Well, you say, I don't want to be in his picnic. Oh, but you don't understand yet. You don't understand. You're the reason he's having it. But after tonight, I hope that we tear up his picnic. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Now, people who say they love him and don't want to keep his word, well, there's one simple answer for that. They are liars. Whether that's me or you, deacons, preachers, trustees, you know, whoever, pope, priest, don't matter. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Now listen, I love this part. And his commandments are not grievous. The way of a transgressor is hard, not the way of a real believer. Now let me say something you think I'm strange anyway. But if there was no heaven or no hell, I would not change one thing about the way I live. I would want to be a Christian, a child of God, if there was no promise of a tomorrow. There was no future home. There was no castles, no palaces, no mansions. I'm not serving him for that myself. Boy, you say I would not do this, that, and other. See, it shows you're not right with God. Because if you loved him, you'd serve Him and live for Him if at the end of the way He casts you away. Well, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. And just in case you're wondering, that's not the initial 10. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now listen to this in a message called Turning Northward in 1961. Let's love one another. Don't fight one another. As long as the devil's got you fighting one another, he don't have to fight at all. He will sit back and has a picnic. Wow. Oh, we message folks have given him a lot of opportunities for picnics. He will sit back and has a picnic. Now listen what his entertainment is now. He sits back, he has a picnic, drinks whatever devils drink, and eats whatever devils eat at their picnics. But his form of entertainment at the picnic is us. He don't have to fight at all. He will sit back and has a picnic watching you fighting one another. What better entertainment could Satan have than children of God fighting each other? There's nothing he loves any better. Nothing any more fun. Nothing any more entertaining. That's pitiful, ain't it? I've given him a few chances for picnics. Don't sit there and look at me like you know what I'm talking about. You have too. Listen to this now. He will sit back and has a picnic watching you fighting one another and laugh at you professing to have the Holy Ghost. And fighting one another. Well, I'm mad already. I tell you what, and I found that this week. I just got plumb mad. I wasn't mad at you, wasn't necessarily mad at me. I got mad at the devil. And then I got mad at me, and then I got mad at you. Think of it, children. We could dismiss and go home and say, wow. But let's not. I think we might want to stay around for a bit. He don't have to fight at all. He will sit back and has a picnic watching you fight one another. And laugh at you, professing to have the Holy Ghost and fighting one another. Why would he laugh at that? Because he knows it's totally impossible for you to have the real Holy Ghost and constantly fighting. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight, Father, for the reading of your word. So grateful, Lord Jesus, that you came to this world to care for us, to love us, to be able to help us. Lord God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight. Help me that I can get out of the way, and help the people that they can be able to get out of the way as well to hear. Lord Jesus, we certainly need you with all of our hearts. Take the word tonight. Anoint us, I pray, that we can be able to receive, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. How many's ever been on a picnic? A picnic can take place in different places. Sometimes folks go to the mountains. Sometimes they go down to the lake. Or they go to a beautiful, serene spot that they think is so pretty and so calm. Maybe a lake. Could be a creek, river, rushing water. Or if I'm over steel type person, just the trickling of a fall. But yet, it is there for you to be able to relax and enjoy those that are with you, the food that you have brought, the drink that you have brought, to be able to pull off the job a little bit, get away from the worries and the troubles of life. Most of us think of a picnic as something enjoyable, pleasant. It's not something that myself, that I would think about the devil ever having a picnic. And you realize it's a metaphorical thing. It is a parable, that it is a earthly thing with a heavenly meaning. So when you think about the devil ever wanting to have a picnic, a gathering, to where he can be able to rest, as it was, to be able to have a form of entertainment, to get him from the everyday stress of life, of being the biggest liar that ever lived. The one who's caused the most trouble of all that's ever lived down through time. So every now and then, he wants a little relaxing time to have a picnic. So he chooses the most ideal setting. Satan don't go to a bar for a picnic. He doesn't go to a strip club for a picnic. He doesn't go to any worldly things and all that sort of thing. But he loves church. And he loves the homes of Christians. And the workplace of Christians. So Satan chooses for his favorite spots for the ideal place for a picnic around children of God. Now you'd think, why in the world would he want that kind of a setting? Because to get them upset, to get them fussing, arguing, debating, hating, that gives him more laughs than anything in this world. Oh, Satan thinks it's funny when people, he'll talk them into drinking and then he'll give them cirrhosis of the liver. He thinks it's absolutely marvelous. He'll talk people into smoking when they're 12, 13 years old. They become addicted and then he kills them with cancer. They take their first lick of dope, marijuana, whatever it is. Oh, he thinks it's hilarious that they become so bound by that they would sell their body. They would sell their mother in order to get a fix. He thinks that's wonderful. But there is nothing that gives him the joy like children of God fighting. It's just something beyond explanation to the devil. It brings him such ecstatic joy and pleasure. He just laughs and laughs and oh, if you could just see him doubled over and just holding his side as it were when the children of God had claimed to be born again and have the Holy Ghost become bitter and hateful and contrary and hate one another. My. So when Satan can find that in the life of a Christian, or he can find it in a church, or he can find it in a move of God. Here Satan decides to have a picnic. Now, some picnics, of course, are held at parks that picnic tables are provided for you. To where you go there and you and your family decide, well, let's pick this table over here. Oh my, it's a nice setting if you're a shade person or a sun person. And then you'll pick out whichever one you want. Some of them have a little small grill there and you brought your little hamburgers and your hot dogs or your bologna or whatever you're going to do. And you'll sit there and you spread out a tablecloth on this concrete table or wood table. And you'll take your nice favorite colored tablecloth, your little red and white checkered one or your blue and white checkered one. And you lay it all out. And my, the wife drags out everything out of the basket and you go to lay everything with your plastic forks and your plastic knives. I hate them things, don't you? And you go to cut into your first cucumber and snap, it breaks off. But you say, this is a picnic. It don't matter. My, I'm off of work and we left the kids with mother-in-law and all that. Let's have a great time. The flies are flying in your face. People over here screaming, kids over there running, and you say, this is so wonderful. We're having a great time. It's a picnic.
You have no thermostat to control the temperature. You'll sit there and sweat. If you'd done that in church, you'd be as mad as a hornet. But yet, it's a picnic. So we tolerate things. But can you imagine Satan now? He wants to have a picnic. So he packs his lunch. And here he comes. And he says, now where can I have my picnic today? Would it be the Weber's home? Ooh. Would it be the Williams home? What about the Phillips home? That might be a good place. The Walkers, the Reagans, the Babs. I'm going to get on Jim a little bit to say a little something a little quick or harsh to Linda. That's a perfect picnic setting. I'll spread out my little blue and white, because he don't like red, the color of blood. I'll spread out my little blue and white tablecloth, and I'll sit down there, and Jim will say something, and then Linda will say something, and then they'll start back and forth, and I'll anoint both of them, because there ain't no way they're going to be beat. She'll not let him get the last word in. And he'll definitely not get her last word in. And I'll sit there and I'll just eat my devil sandwiches. Of course, he likes deviled eggs, I suppose. He'll sit there and eat his sandwiches and drink whatever the devil drinks. And he'll just anoint them back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And he is dying laughing. And this is so wonderful. Because they're both Christians. And they've both got the Holy Ghost. And they both are born again. And they're both from the greatest message that's ever been on the earth. And they got peace that passeth understanding, joy unspeakable, full of glory. But they're behaving like children. The devil's picnic. Satan loves clamor. He loves destruction. He loves anxiety, sorrow, bitterness, hatefulness, contrariness. He does not love divine love. Satan can't love. He does not enjoy peace. Now, if you would allow Satan to be able to lay out all of his beautiful condiments in order to have a wonderful picnic at your place, and all of a sudden in the middle of this argument, you realize, wait a minute. You know what we've done? We just invited the devil to have a picnic in our house. What if in the middle of your argument with your brother or your sister or your wife or whatever it is, you realize what you have just done? You have just created a perfect atmosphere for the devil's picnic. And if in the middle of that you realize, Lord God, forgive us. Forgive us. And you grab your wife by the hand and kneel down right there on the couch or right there in the chair somewhere and you go to praying. And you pray and pray until you break through into some kind of strange language. I guarantee you one thing. If you could hear it, the devil's getting his little ditty bag together. He's bunching all his stuff up in his basket and he's leaving the Bab house and he's going to find out if there's anybody else in Happy Valley that he can have a picnic in their house. But of course, our rights are so important to us. No one is going to cross us and get by. I would imagine for a lot of the saints in Happy Valley, Satan has a hard time working in all the picnics among all the opportunities that he has. I'm not sure if the devil can have picnic on Facebook, but if he can, I'm sure that he's up 24/7 just keeping up Facebook picnics. All, of course, in the love of God. Now, watch, whenever the new birth comes into an individual, it changes them and makes them so different than the word they were before they were born again. And John, by the Spirit of God, had such an understanding in looking at this. Watch now, chapter 5, verse 1. He said, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Now you have to be very careful in looking at this word, because especially in the modern concept of the way that people are taking the word believe or believing or believeth, and they look at it as merely an intellectual conception of believing that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, then by believing that mentally, they accept it that way. But when you look at the root word of believeth and of faith, it is pistis. dunamis in the Greek, which is not only a noun or something that you accept on the basis of substance, but it actually is connected with a verb which places it in action. So it's not just what you say you believe, but it's the way you live. You live out what you say you are believing. Now watch, he says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. So what is Christ? It is Christos. It is not enough to believe merely that Jesus is the Son of God. That's important. But notice what John said. He that believeth that Jesus is the Christ. He didn't say he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. But Jesus is the Christ. What does that involve? Jesus was a prophet. He was the Son of God, but he's also our King. Now, in the concept of Christ, which is Christos or Messiah, it is all the anointed perspective of the office of the Lord Jesus. So it's not just saying, oh, I accept Jesus as the Son of God. But do you accept him as your priest? Do you accept him as your King? Do you accept him as your all in all? And then if you do not, you are truly not born again yet. But he whosoever believeth that Jesus is, not was, but is the Christ. He is your Christ. So he's not only your Savior, but he is currently your priest. He is also your Lord. He is your master. He is your King. Now those are the ones that are truly born again. They will be outnumbered 1,000,000 to 1 as far as those that believe in the mind intellectually that Jesus is the Son of God. Yet they do not make him King. They do not make him Lord. They do not make him the anointed prince over their life. They simply, what is most of the world's, the church world's confession? I believe Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. That's important, but that's not what all John said. You must believe Jesus is the Christ. I want him to be my Savior, but I want him to be my Lord. I want him to be my King. I want him to be my ruler. Amen. You as well. Now watch, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now the term born of God is kind of, it's isolated actually by John the Divine, and he only uses it in the latter years of his ministry. He doesn't use it when he writes the epistle of John, but he uses it after now he's been on the Isle of Patmos and he has these great visions and visitations from God. If you notice in 1 John 3:9, he said, whosoever is born of God. Now Peter doesn't use these terms, Paul doesn't use these terms, John alone uses this term born of God. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. And the church said, 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Chapter 5:1 again. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. So that means that everybody that believes Jesus is the Son of God, they're born again. Careful. Careful. Watch again, verse 4. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Oh, so you can't just profess, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. If you're born of God, you will overcome the world. Not maybe, not perhaps, I'm trying. No, it's not I'm trying, you will. Verse 18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. How in the world is that possible? He keeps himself, how? By the power of God in him. And that wicked one touches him not. Now watch this word, believeth. Back to chapter 5:1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Look at the word, it is pistou. Commit to one's trust. Notice, nothing about your intellectual conception at all. It's not about what you accept. It's not about the intellectual part. I accept it in my mind. I confess it with my mouth, and therefore it's done. That's not even the word John used. Look at the word. Whosoever believeth, commit to one's trust. Be committed unto, to think, to be true. Used in the New Testament of the conviction and trust to which a man is impelled by a certain inner and higher prerogative and law of soul. To entrust a thing to, his fidelity, to be entrusted with the same. So whosoever believeth, it's not your intellectual conception. Oh, I accept him as my Savior. You've not him on first base yet. Amen. whosoever believes, you believe it so much, you commit everything. Your trust, your fidelity, everything you are. That's a real believer. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now, it is not even the proper meaning of the word, which by which many theologians and preachers and teachers now it's got to the place it's in the message as well. Because it's an easy believism to where a person just believes and they accept and they believe. It doesn't require anything. It requires no walk. It requires no consecration to God because God knows nobody's perfect anyway. And we all make mistakes. We all do wrong. That's a good modern gospel, but it's not the Bible. So the core meaning then of the root of this word is actually, as I told you, it's pistis in the Greek. It is a personal relationship established by trust and trustworthiness. It's not just trust alone, but trust and trustworthiness. So it's not believing in a historical Jesus that you pick up the Bible and you learn all the stories of Jesus. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He done all these wonderful things. Oh my, I believe that's true. I believe that's true. But it's never been made real to you. Faith in Him is abandoning our own will, our own ideas, our own abilities, and trusting totally in Him, which is so hard for us to do. Now watch, Peter believed, but he didn't have a new birth. Matthew chapter 16, verse 15. And he says unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And he says unto them, whom say ye, the disciples, that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ. Now watch. John says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Peter seemingly matches that verse of scripture. And he does from here, but not here. Now watch. Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. He had a real revelation, but he wasn't born again. He believed Jesus was a Christ, but he turned out to be a cussing preacher. And naked on top of that. But yet he believed. He had a revelation. Praise the Lord. Watch this. In the Greek text, the word believe is present tense. I love this. Indicating a present continuing activity. The word born is in the perfect tense. The perfect tense indicates a past event with continuing consequences. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now to us as English people, we wouldn't make that much difference at all. But whenever you realize the way the scripture was written and the Spirit of God moving on those men to use the proper word, then we bring it over into our thinking and we totally reshape it by our thinking. And then we wonder why the word don't work. It does work when it's placed in its proper place. Now watch, the perfect tense of the word born, it indicates a past event with continuing consequences. In other words, our present continuing activity of believing is the result and therefore the evidence of our past experience of new birth by which we become and remain God's children. This is why a real believer will never stumble at any truth that's revealed. Now they may struggle initially when they hear, oh my, I don't understand it, oh my, but a real seed of God will keep them right on going. Why? They are born of God. Other people will come up to a certain doctrine, a certain truth, and they'll go that far and they'll never make it over the top of that. Why? They lack a new birth. The Holy Ghost will never stop at anything that's revealed in His Word. He came, He wrote it. So to be born of God, What is it? The perfect tense. It is something that is ongoing in our lives even this night. If you've got a new birth and you're sitting in this place and you're born of God, when the Word brings something to you, it will quicken that to you right in this very service. Now watch then. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. When a birth takes place, the individual that is born is not born into a world of isolation. They are not born into a place of total solitude to where they are the only one that has ever been born. Now think of this. When you were born, you might have been the firstborn as I was in my family. But yet I was not born into a world of solitude. There would already been millions and millions of human beings that had lived on the earth and that had come by the same way that I had come by birth. So it did not birth me into a realm or a sphere where I was the only one there. I was born into the family of the Reagans. I was born into the family of humanity. Well, I wonder how that works with the new birth then. When we're born again into the family of God, and yet we want to get this concept, it's us and our four and no more, our church and the one who gets our revelations and the one who streams our services. Oh my. For one thing, when you're born into this family, there are shared traits and characteristics that mark you as being a Reagan or whatever you are. Now, whenever you come then into this family, you're born out after the law of God's natural law of reproduction, but you're not the first one there. More than likely, you won't be the last one there. So you are born into something that already preexisted before you came, and no doubt it will be there once you leave this mortal realm. Now, when we look at the birth of the seed into the family of God, we were certainly not the first ones to be born into the family, and if the Lord tarries, we'll not be the last ones that'll be born. And with that comes what? A responsibility that we are born into a move of God. So what gets among us then that wants us to isolate ourselves from everybody else in that same move? We have no fellowship with no other church. We have no confidence in nobody else but one preacher. You're on dangerous ground. If Satan can get you down to one preacher, all he's got to do is come between you and that one preacher and you're finished. Oh, Lord Jesus. And another thing, that whenever you're born into the human family, you have traits and characteristics of those who are your paternal parents. Now, you may have certain things about you that's like your father, certain things about you that's like your mother. It could even be an uncle. Maybe you had a red-headed uncle. My, years and years back, your mama's black-headed, your daddy's brown-headed. All of a sudden, you come out there looking like an Irishman or something. I think, Lord have mercy. What in the world was that? Well, it was a gene of someone that came down, and there you are, the reflection of someone behind you. So we know we bear the characteristics and the traits of that. But why is it we so struggle then with the spiritual sense of being born into the family of God? We want everybody to be identical to us. Their music's got to be like ours. Their singing's like ours. They've definitely got to preach like Donnie Reagan. It's her in the move of God. Friends, you realize that's the spirit of organization. We're born into a family. Some of our brothers and sisters in this family are Africans, some are Filipinos, some are Asians, some are American Indians, some are all kinds of folks. They're never all going to be exactly like us, thank God. The worship will be different, the manner and style of preaching will be different. I think it's a sign of growing up that we can finally recognize God moves beyond our four walls. I hate to say it, but preachers are a lot of the ones that are guilty for giving the devil a lot of grounds for picnics. Well, praise the Lord. There ain't that many preachers. You're sure to y'all can say amen. It ain't like you're outnumbered. I mean, y'all 50-1, the preachers looks like tonight. So whenever a person is born then into the economy of God, they're born under what attribute? They are born we know naturally when we're born, say July the 9th, 1956 when I was born, there was a certain planetary alignment, also stars, and it set my birth path in a certain way. It set my nature in a certain way. It would affect me all of my life, even though I tried to be born again and have a new nature in there, and the seed gene would be quickened by the Spirit of God, but there would be certain things. Like here I'm born at a certain time, Carol born exactly the same day, up in the day, but yet something a little different made her a different personality. And it's the same way with the family of God. That we could be born into the family of God. Some will be really emotional. My, they ain't had church if they ain't knocked the pews down. Others, that they can't stand that stuff. That's so much noisy. Their favorite scripture is, be still and know that I'm God. Amen. I'm the oldest of seven kids. There ain't none of us identical. We fussed, we fought, we clawed one another's eyes out, we called one another names, we made fun of one another, we attached all kinds of nicknames to each other, which some of them still carry to this day. And you know how kids can be. They can be very cruel. Children can be very cruel. Come on now. It shows you where the message folks really are still. They're children. No matter how long they've been around, they're still children. Watch their behavior. They act like spoiled children. They don't get their way. Oh my, they throw the office fit if it was. Now it's bad if it's a lay person. It's worse if it's a deacon. It's horrible if it's the pastor. Now all of us, no matter what our position is spiritually, we're still affected by this. And even though we're born into the economy of God, He does not strip the genes out of us naturally. He does not strip the birth path out of us naturally. We're left in this body to still deal with all these negative aspects. But every child of God has spiritual birthmarks. Y'all know what birthmarks are, don't you? Every child of God has birthmarks. It wasn't marks that was formed on you when your mother was carrying you, which one of my siblings has. A mark on their body that a certain event happened to my mother and it marked their body. But we have other marks. It brings our flesh subject. But the last birthmark of a child of God will be the body change. Glory. Hallelujah. Now watch, earlier into this, as John's writing this in chapter 2 and chapter 3, as it begins to emphasize on the love of God. In chapter 4, he shows us that the characteristics of a child of God are being born into this economy of God. And they will certainly walk in truth. They will certainly dress a certain way. And they'll certainly have lots of things about them that will be markers as far as a Christian. But one of the greatest things that John is emphasizing here is love. Now I know this is very confusing. A lot of folks and folks have laughed at this series that I've been preaching at and making fun of it. Some of the message folks have. Because they don't think it's very deep. They think that I'm talking about what everybody out here has as far as love. I'm talking about divine love. I'm not talking about this ooey-gooey, marshmallow, creamy stuff that smothers all over everybody's face. I'm talking about divine love that separates you from the world, but makes you hate sin, but love the sinner. That's right. Now watch, John wants to bring this out and show that the love of God becomes the fixed point by which it is your North Pole, as it was. It is a pivotal point of your life by which you will start being navigated and controlled from that point on. Now we know that God wants to place something there within us that'll change us forever. So what's a wonderful part about it is that it'll change us forever. So to be born of God is to be born into the family of God. And we have the name of the Father of the family over this household, though it is a mystical body, yet we're born into it individually, but yet we're born into it in a sense that we're all members of the same body. So how could I, if I'm born of the Spirit of God and you're born of the Spirit of God, ever hate you? Or how could you ever hate me when the same Father begat us both? Now you want to ask me if all my brothers and sisters got along together? I done told you we didn't. Y'all have any brothers and sisters? Oh, y'all have perfect love in your family? Liar, liar, liar! But yet, you let somebody pick on one of them brothers and sisters. Woo, my, my. My sister Tammy, I still bear scars in my face where she clawed me and scratched me. But somebody picked on me one day in a bus because I never could fight. I always hated fighting. And somebody picked on me one day on the bus and I just hid my head and that guy would beat me on the head and pound me like a drum because I just never could fight. I know y'all don't believe that, but it's the truth. I couldn't stand fighting. Tammy lit into him, tore him into bug bites. He was begging for mercy. Time she got done. But in a couple of days, she lit into me the same way. Isn't that amazing how that whenever you see a brother that would be under something, you go to his defense. And yet, you can be the very one also who would do the very same thing to him. It's amazing, isn't it, what our perception of love and loyalty and all that is. But when you think now that we look beyond the natural genealogy and we look and see that John said, whosoever loveth him that beget, loveth him also that is begotten. So every Christian, every true born again Christian, you love those who are born out of the Spirit of God. And you say, brother, how am I going to know? How am I going to know? Oh, so you got such little love, now you got to predetermine if they're born again before you love them or not. You need another baptism. I said you need another baptism. God so loved the world, the cosmos, the world order that he gave his only begotten son. He loves the sinners. He loves the homosexuals. He don't love what they do. He loves harlots, prostitutes, drunks, drug addicts. Now can you imagine a son here that's born in a family? He's got brown hair, blue eyes, whatever. His structure is one size. And his brother, blonde hair, green eyes, smaller, thin. Well, then the bigger one would use himself, if he would do that, use himself as an example and say, you don't look like me. I don't believe you're born of daddy and mama. You must be adopted. One of my sisters, we used to kid her that way when she was little. We used to tell her all the time she was adopted. Poor little thing, she'd cry and cry and cry. Why? She didn't want to feel like she was adopted. Is there anybody here who wants to feel like you're not a member of the family of God? Is there anybody here who wants to feel like that you're not one of those beloved ones of the Lord? That would break your heart and mine too. Why? We want to feel like we're special in his eyes. And you are. But you look at the love of God then being born into the family. If we're not careful, we will fuss and fight and rip and tear and hate. And we are sending the devil a personal invitation. Satan, you want a picnic? I'm fixing to write a brother in the church a scathing email. I'm going to burn his hide. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And say, wait a minute. Let me get my hot dogs. Yay. Let me get my Kool-Aid. Let me get my mustard, my ketchup, my salt, my pepper, my potato chips. I want to have a picnic because I know him. If you post that on Facebook this morning, he'll post this evening. And I want to get right in the middle of you so I can enjoy this while both of you claim you're born again and both of you got the Holy Ghost and you're so illuminated. And I'm going to die laughing. Please don't send in that till I get my dog buns. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everyone that loveth him that beget, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Why? They're in the same family. Got the same image. Brother Donnie, but what if a woman come in here tonight with bob hair and hat on pants and now, that ain't no image of God? Certainly not yet. What if she's a real daughter of God and her name is on the book and you treat her like a whore? You see, we're looking at the cover many times when the cover's not hardly lit. I'll tell you what, let's do. Let's catch the fish and we'll let God clean them. Amen. A lot of us message folks want to clean them before we catch them. I don't know how that works in fishing. I don't figure it'd work too good though. Praise the Lord. We want to clean them out and wash their face off, put a dress under that. Look, God can save a woman in a pair of skin-tight shorts. God could save a man, a big old sissy, burly-looking outfit with earrings hanging down his nose, out of his ears, out of his eyeballs, everywhere else. God could save that man and then clean him up if the man wants to be saved. The man who hates his brother does not love God. My, it's quiet on me. Listen to what Brother Bram says about loving one another. The love of God sealed in your heart, pressed in until all the world is pressed out. And you see nothing but the Lord to love Him. And as you love one another, you love the Lord. And if you don't love one another, you can't love the Lord. Friends, you understand, this is not an option. It's impossible. If we don't love one another, we cannot love the Lord right. What's this again? He says, you'll never come up in the kingdom of God until the Holy Spirit has sealed you in the kingdom of God by His divine love. The whole Christian world is your brother and sister. That's right. The world sealed out and God sealed in. When you love one another truly with divine Christian love, then you know the Holy Spirit is really working through you then. Not when you speak in tongues, not when you say you accept the prophet, not when you say you believe the message, when divine love is working through you. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Love one another above everything that you do. Love one another. As you love one another, you'll love God, see? You love each other and you'll love God, for God is love. And a man that walks in love walks in life. And perfect love casteth out all fear. This is the kind of environment that Satan hates in a family. This is the kind of environment that Satan hates in a church. It's the kind of environment that he hates in a move of God. It's the kind of environment he hates in an individual. But if that church, that family, that individual has got bitterness and hatred and envy and strife, you have set up a permanent picnic table. A lot of us are such professionals that throw the picnic for the devil. We provide the meat, the bread, the drinks, the french fries, even the dessert. We've got everything, everything conducive for Satan's picnic. Cap us off, Lord. Cap us off. I want you to notice this. Brother Bam follows this thought, and there's hundreds and hundreds of these quotes, but I'll read you just a few. But he follows the same thought all through the entirety of the message, from the very beginning all the way to the very end. What is fatherhood? It's an attribute of God. Then if we be God's children, then God wants us to love one another. In doing so, we love God. Can't you see? You cannot divide loving God and loving the brothers. Now you can bitterly disagree. That don't mean you agree with everybody. But the thing of it is, you can bitterly disagree and love them just as much when you get done. Which most human beings cannot do. I've had disagreements with preachers all over the world on the message. And with many of them, when you do, they'll never treat you the same again. I don't care how great a man can preach, there's something lacking in his life. Don't get scared. Preachers have got to line up to the word too. If a preacher cannot disagree with the preacher and still feel the same in his heart, there's something wrong with that preacher. That deacon, that mother, that father, you, me, whoever it is. The word of God declares, friends, we must love him and we must love his image in others. Notice this. Brother M says, if you can't love one another, how are you going to love God? Who you haven't seen. Love hides a multitude of sin. Get in love with God, then you'll love one another. Oh my. Then you'll love the church. You'll love the cause. Oh, I love God. I love the prophet. I love the message. But I want nothing to the church. You don't love God. You're deceived. You cannot be in love with God and in love with the prophet and the message and not love the move of God. And love to go to church. If God's in your heart, you can't wait to come. Praise the Lord. And that ain't Easter and Christmas. I said that ain't on Easter and Christmas. You can't wait to get to the house of God. My, if you got a trip, you got this, you watch and you watch. Oh my, 5 to 7, Brother Louis sitting up there reading the prayer request and figuring out the special song. Oh, it's about 10 after 7. Wonder what they're doing now. Wonder what they're doing now. A real child of God never gets away from church because they ain't there. Why? It's part of their life. Why? It's their future home and reflection down here. What are we doing? We're gathering here tonight as an antitype of our future home, and we will gather around that revealed word for eternity. And we love one another because we love Him. Notice this, love hides a multitude of sin. Get in love with God, then you'll love one another. You'll love the church. You'll love the cause. You'll love everything that's God in you. Keep away from the things of the world. Amen. Notice this as we go on, how it unfolds right on down through this. He said, if you get to a place where I couldn't put my arm around any brother that's working for the kingdom of God and recognize him as my brother, I feel I'm backslid. I'd be scared to stand on the platform and face evil spirits to know that I had envy in my heart against any brother. And the saints said,
amen.
Can you imagine what a picnic ground a preacher can be? A preacher who has more chances for complexes than any other person on the earth. You folks can interrupt his meals. You can interrupt his plans. You can interrupt everything about him. And he's to drop whatever he's doing at your beck and call. And if he don't, he's a devil. And you spend years of your life giving it to those people. And then all of a sudden they decide they don't like you no more. So they take their postal diggers and they dig up their post and then they set it down at another post of duty. And then they're going to running you down and talking about you. And you think, my goodness, all the years, all the meals I missed, all the night's sleep I lost for them people. And what happened to all that? And if you don't keep abreast of it, and if you don't keep above it all, it goes to building and building and building on a preacher. And he'll lose a little more feeling and a little more and a little more. And he'll start taking his harshness and his bitterness and finding scriptures to justify it. God hates bitterness, whether it's in a preacher or a singer. It don't matter the difference who it is. And bitterness will grieve the Spirit of God away from any man. I don't care how good he can preach, how good he can sing. Don't get quiet on my church. I don't want that myself. I want to be sweet, full of the Holy Ghost. Don't you? I think with that, then a person can have this bitterness in them. We've got so many opportunities to become bitter. Why would I want to remain bitter when there's so much of the love of God I've never even tasted of yet? Why would I want to become bitter now, Brother Gene? Why would I want to become so complex and full of so many hurts? Have you been hurt, Brother Donnie? Oh yes, I've been hurt by thousands and thousands of times. But so have you. Let's go on. We can spend all of our time wallowing in our hurt and our disappointment. Or we can say, praise God, there's a higher calling. There's a city of God. There's a kingdom of God. Let's move on. Let's not wallow in our hurts. Notice this, Brother Branham said, to know that I had envy in my heart against any brother, no matter who he is, that's trying to preach the gospel or Jesus Christ or live a Christian life. If we disagree a million miles upon theology, if he loves the Lord Jesus, he's my brother and it's my sister. And we've drawn those lines. And if you can't love your brother who you have seen, how can you love God who you can't or have never seen? And brother, when love goes out, God goes with it. If we run the love of God out of this place, all we'll have is a building with carpet and nice songs and nice musicians and nice singers. But if God leaves, I'm leaving with him. I don't just want signs. I don't just want wonders and miracles. I want love. Divine love. Y'all want to stay with me?
Yes.
Notice this, we must love one another. Keep the roots of bitterness out of us. Then God can go to working through us. But till we get that, we're just fighting the wind. And of course, this is another one of Satan's entertainments at his picnic. He loves to watch us fight the wind. Now the wind is something which is very real. It's something that we've all felt on our face, on our back, all around us all of our lives. It's invisible. Comes when it wants, goes when it wants. We don't know where it listeth. We don't know where it come from, where it goes to. So can you imagine? I'm picking a fight with the wind. Come on, face me like a man. You're really bored, aren't you? Can you imagine picking a fight with the wind? And Satan just holds his, pass that mustard. This is wonderful. Look at this. Have you ever seen such a thing? I've had so much fun since Peter cussed. This is great. End time message. Malachi 4. Deepest people on the earth. Look at them. But I come loaded tonight for the picnic brigade. Glory. Anybody like to help me go through this picnic and tear it up? Amen. I wouldn't come to your picnic and tear it up because it wouldn't be nice. I wouldn't go to a park, Rotary Park or wherever more and tear up a picnic, but I think I'm perfectly justified in tearing up the devil's picnic in my life or in my family or in our church to where God can so fill us with love that Satan said, oh Lord, get out of here. They broke into the realm of perfect love. I never thought they'd do it. I never thought they'd ever find the way. Oh, but devil, let me tell you, God's got a people on the earth around the world that will be filled with God's divine love. They will preach deep things. They will heal the sick, but they will be so much like God that the world will know there is still a living God. Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus. Notice this. Brother Manning said we must love one another and keep the roots of bitterness out of us. Then God can work through us until we get that. We're just fighting the wind. True, we got to love one another. Jesus said by all this, so men know you're my disciples, right or wrong. Love anyhow. How much of your short life do you think God would love you if he loved you on the basis of when you were right? There's probably things tonight that we believe that's wrong. We just don't know it yet. We'll find it out tomorrow, Wednesday or something like that. You mean God loves you when you're wrong, believing this or that or the other? But he's God. But you're supposed to be born of God. I know. I'm a simple person, but dogs beget dogs, cat beget cats, horse beget horse. So what does God beget? Praise the Lord. Kind after kind, dogs beget dogs, cat begets cats, God begets gods. Oh my, notice. Turning northward again. Look, love one another. Jesus said, this will mean all men know you're my disciples and you got love for one another. This is when all men will know that you're my disciples. You got love for one another. That's the greatest evidence of the Holy Ghost that I know of. When you can love one another. Yes, sir. That's the great commandment. Great thing. Though you speak with tongues of men and angels and have not love, it profits you nothing. Anybody here ever spoken tongues of angels? Angelic tongues? Not French or German or Spanish or something like that that was interpreted. Anybody here? If we could speak of tongues of men and of angels, give our bodies to be burned, all these great things, and we don't have this, we've still missed the entire mark. Though we were so deep that when people got up and left our preaching, they said, man, that's the deepest stuff I ever heard in my life. But if you're bitter, hateful, contrary, what good's it done you? What good? You've just held a seminar of some sort. Listen, this in Christ's mystery. I love you. Don't forget the commandments of God to your little children. Love one another. Love everybody. Right or wrong, sinner or saint, love them anyhow. If you don't, then pray God to help you. Praise the Lord. Because God loved the sinner, and the nature of God is in you. If the man is wrong, love him anyhow. Don't partake of his sin. Don't partake of his sin, but in sweetness, not in sourness and rebuke. In sweetness, tell him of the hope of life that rests within you through Jesus Christ being revealed to you by the Holy Ghost. If you can't talk to a sinner, if you can't talk to a woman that's dressed wrong, if you cannot do it in sweetness, then don't do it. You'll bring a reproach. If you approach it in bitterness or anger or smart aleck attitude, leave it alone. You'll only produce a stumbling block. Notice this. As we love one another, we love God. So pick that person that you struggle with and think, as I love brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, that's the way I love God. And I love them with restraints. I love them very little. I don't care for them that well. That's the way you love God. Because when you've done this to the least of these, my brothers, you've done it to me. Uh-oh, some of y'all just spread the red and white checkered table cover back out. Get that salt out of your hand. Get that salt out of your hand and pick up a sword. We're breaking up this picnic, remember? Don't you reset that table on me. You get your hand out of that refrigerator. Hallelujah. Oh my, listen to this. Watch him as he just keeps going on up to the end of his ministry. Same thought this says. We love one another. Now I cannot love him without loving you. And if I say I love him and don't love you, the Bible said I'm a liar. Notice again, how will you know, how will the world know that you love Jesus? When we love one another. That's how the world see. God sees your face. The world sees your action. Love one another now. Be kind to one another. Talk with one another. Be patient with one another. Boy, that's hard to be sometimes, ain't it? Man, sometimes some of the people you go to church with are the sorriest bunch of mud. I'm telling you what. How in the world can anybody love them? Well, God does. So I guess if you're part of him, you're going to have to love them too. You put up with their shortcomings, they put up with yours, y'all put up with mine, I put up with yours, God puts up with us all. And the love of God in our hearts will make us like him to put up with. You realize that's not the image of God. This, that human part that we clash on, that's not the image of God. But the image of God is that something down on the inside. But if we're not careful, we so look at that outside, we can't even love the inside because the outside stumbles us. Oh my. We love one another. If we don't love one another, we can't love him. Friends, do you see how serious this is? If there is one person in this world that you hate, there's something wrong with your walk with God. But Brother Donnie, you don't know what I've done. I don't need to. Have you ever been treated to one percentile of the way my Lord Jesus was treated? Nor have I. Let me go a bit farther and we'll stop. My, oh my, I love you with undying love. Listen, love one another. You cannot dislike your brother who you see and say you love God. Now listen, friends. He brings it on down a notch in our thinking. He doesn't say hate. That you hate your brother. but you just dislike him. He's still working on me. Did y'all see my sign under construction? Y'all got yours out? Hold out your sign under construction. Lord Jesus, you cannot dislike your brother who you see and say you love God who you haven't seen see. So just love one another. Then you serve one another. You serve God. Is that right? As you've done to the least of these that's got quickening power in them, you've done it unto me. What's the image of God? The quickening power is the image of God. Or what would make us want to dislike or want to say something? The clashing of this. You've got one culture. I've got another. You was raised in a certain part of the country. I was raised in another. You've got a certain makeup. I've got another. And it'll clash and it'll rub wrong. You remember what they covered the outside of the tabernacle with? Badger skins. Badger's a mean little feller. But there's one thing about it. Before they ever put them badgers together, they had to be dead. And the old animal nature had to be dead and gone. You imagine taking two badgers and sewing them together while they're alive? I can imagine you won't have no fingers left is what I can imagine. Because they're going to tear your fingers off. But if you kill that animal nature and let the animal nature leave, then what is left? The skin of the badger. Then you can sew a black one to a white one and they ain't neither one got racial profiling. Amen. You can sew a European to an Asian or whatever more and they hug one another and call one another brother. Why? That old racial thing is gone. That old animal thing is gone. And they can be sewed together to make a shelter of the holy presence of God. May God help us that he can take our old badger skin and sew it to that brother and that brother and that brother and that brother that we collectively can be the house of God. You know what they done with them badgers? They dipped them all in crimson, red. Hallelujah. You know where that red dye come from? A female insect that had a little bitty drop or two drops in her body. And they took that out of this female insect to make a certain color of red or crimson in the tabernacle. And they would take that dye. Can you imagine how many insects it would take to pour that full of this dye? Amen. Glory to God. When they put them in, one might have been white, the other might have been brown, another might have been black, but when they pulled them all out, it's all the same color. Oh, glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. I'll tell you, friends, folks around this message that got race problems, they ain't got race problems. They got soul problems. They got soul problems. They need to be took to the vat of the blood of the Lord Jesus and dive in. They can grab a black man from Africa or a brother from Philippines or Asia or wherever they are and hug them around and say, my brother, I love you. We are of one soul, one move, one body. Come on, church. It makes no difference whether you're black, white, red, or yellow. Once them badgers was dyed in that vat, they come out of their one. They come out of their soul endued with something that had changed them and transformed them that they could be the hiding place of Jehovah. What an opportunity God's given us that we in our bodies and in our church can be the tabernacle of the Most High. Hallelujah. Brother Bram said, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God raises a standard against it. Just keep lifting yourself up in prayer before God. Cling to one another. Hold to God. For if you love one another, it shows you love God. And this will all men know that you're my disciples when you have love one for the other. Things that ought to be in the last sermon that he actually preached before communion. And then this will all men know that you're my disciples when you have love one for another. That's right. If we can't love one another, who we do see, how are we going to love God, who we can't see? Amen. Brother Bram said years ago at the tabernacle, and I'll close, that the people there at that church were so in love with one another, they would cry to see one another again. They would cry because they got so homesick for one another. And preachers had come to him and said, how do you do that? How do you do that in that church to make them people so love one another? So this was the foundation of Brother Bram's ministry. The man that we say we believe. What a far cry we are from the Spirit this message was introduced in. But instead, our churches have become picnic grounds. Our homes, our lives. People go to church, they don't like it. It's too hot, it's too cold. I don't like this, I don't like that. In case you hadn't noticed, we don't have a suggestion box in the back of the church. This is not McDonald's. We're not here to please each one of you. That's totally impossible anyway. We are here to lay aside our differences. But Brother Donnie, I'm looking for a church that's perfect. Perfect! This is an ER. This is a hospital. This is an ER. It's a psychiatric ward. Don't tell me it ain't. I know it is. I'm looking for the perfect church. There ain't no such a thing. This is where sick folks are helped. This is where drug addicts can be set free. This is where drunks can be set free. This is not a perfect place. People's got all kinds of soul problems and spiritual problems and physical problems, but they're coming to the right place and they're waiting in line to see Dr. Jesus. So it's not about you and what you think, and I don't like this. It ain't about that. An ER is not set up for your particular taste. It's set help to the dying. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. Well, I'm not sure how long he made it through. He might have got a couple of bites off his hot dog. But I hope, after I got within 10 or 15 minutes, he about choked on that thing. I hope his favorite tater chips got sideways in his throat. And his favorite Kool-Aid. I hope he never made it to his dessert. Look, friends, I want you to think how serious this is. Wouldn't you hate to know if there was a tally down in hell and Satan had your name on it? Of how many picnic days you had made for him. Now, up here, people may not know that tally. Oh, my, he sings beautiful. He sings like a mockingbird. Oh, my, look at her hair. It's so long. Many of them's got a tongue the same size. Temper like a buzzsaw. And down in hell, Satan's got page after page after page. Page. What you looking at? All my picnic schedules with Donnie. These are past tense. These are ones he's had a real nice atmosphere around him. Yeah. Is that, that's Charlie Therese? Oh my Lord, not Yahoo himself. You're kidding me. Brother Louie? Oh no. But there's one thing I know and I love about my Lord Jesus. His records up there in heaven might have bore the same thing against me. That I said a lot of picnics for the devil. But there's one thing I've learned to do, and I learned to do it a long time ago. And that was ask for forgiveness. And when I do, thank you. is gone. Oh, hallelujah! This picnic has officially been canceled. You got rained out, devil. The Holy Ghost overshadowed us and poured out a good Holy Ghost shower. Hallelujah! And you got rained out. Praise the Lord! The only one getting drunk around here tonight, devil, is us. Because you ain't welcome. The only one having a party or having a picnic is us as we feed on the unfailing Word of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now if you want to stay around where folks are shouting and praising God and talking in tongues, you're welcome to stay. All right. And if not, I would advise you to pack your little lunch sack and hit the door. Go on, devil! We'd have more pleasant homes, more pleasant churches. We'd just be more pleasant human beings if we'd stop having as many picnics with the devil. Don't worry, sisters, I'll pick up this mess. I just want to destroy all my past records of picnics. Think of it, children. How many times have we, the great message people, we have given him opportunity after opportunity. We have been his entertainment. You husbands, you wives, preachers, you people. And we are his fun. His entertainment. If I could find him, I'd mash his mouth. But I can do something worse than that to him. I can determine by God's grace. I want to live a life that's so pleasing to God that Satan won't feel comfortable in my house. He won't feel comfortable in my life. He won't feel comfortable when we have church. Is that what you want? Is that what you really want as a child of God? We got some wonderful musicians here and wonderful singers and all that. That within itself won't drive him away. We've got a nice place to worship and we thank God for it. That won't drive him away. Love. Divine love. The greatest power in the world. Atomic bombs, hydrogen bombs, who knows what they've got now. It ain't even a drop in a bucket. It's like lighting a match to the love of God. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, there's so many wonderful things that I so appreciate and love about Brother Branham. But one of the things is that he was so simple that he would take simple statements like this, the devil's picnic. The devil just has a picnic and laughs at us. And in it can be volumes and volumes of things. This speaks to our hearts. I pray tonight, Lord Jesus, that those present and those listening, we can look at each of our lives and realize how many times we have been Satan's entertainment. When we were fussing and fighting and arguing and debating. Lord, the few preacher's meetings that I've been to, I felt like it was awful. Preachers fussing and arguing back and forth and losing their temper and face turning red and awful, awful. Preachers, Lord, a bedding ground or a picnic ground. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help the men of this church. Help those that are married to be the right kind of example to their wives and their children. To accept the responsibility of being a man. Lord, to look at their lives, check their homes, and see, is everything in order? Is everything in line to please you? Or is it a constant place for Satan and his picnics?
Help us in our church. We know we cannot change the world. We cannot even change the folks in our message. But we can change ourselves by your grace. If we'll take what you've given us. Lord, help us that we can love the unlovable. I love to pray for the sick and see them get healed. I've seen you do miracles, Lord. How many miracles have been turned over this pulpit, testimonies of things you've done among us. And we thank you. But Lord, for us to have your love in a divine way, what a miracle that would be. But when Brother Bram said he longed for the hour when the gifts would be laid up on the shelf and the love, divine love, would so move in the church that the Lord Jesus would take it over himself. Or if we come in church and somebody's got our pew, we don't get mad and stick our lips out. We just move over somewhere else and get right in the service anyhow. Somebody's got our parking spot. Somebody done this. And we just say, hey, that's not why I'm coming to church. I'm a worshiper. I'm a worshiper. Sweat may be running down my face and down my back. I may be sitting here like an icicle, but I'm going to do my best to break this ice and worship God.
Amen.
Help us, Lord. Please, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord, for every opportunity I've ever had to give the devil to have a picnic. I can't stop him from coming around, I know. But I know your word tells me this. If I'll submit myself unto you and resist the devil, he will flee from me. That's the kind of Christian I desire to be. Not once a week, but every day of my life. Where he says, I ain't no need in taking no picnic lunch around Donnie. He makes you miserable. That's the kind of testimony I want to have down in hell. Help us each one, Lord God, I pray. With your heads bowed, I may raise your hand to the Lord tonight and say, Lord, that's what I want to. I want to be that kind of Christian. God bless you, saints, men, women, boys, girls. Those of you streaming the service right there in your living room, wherever you are in your automobile, driving down the road in a motel, wherever you are. Just bow your head there sitting in the chair on the side of the bed in your car. Pull off the side of the road if you need to. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we worship you tonight, Father. We receive your word, Lord. We receive the correction that it sends to us. As John says here in verse 2, his commandments are not grievous. To a son or daughter of God, he didn't say that they wasn't difficult, but he said they're not grievous, which is unfair. To a real child of God that's consecrated, your word is not unfair. It's only to those who are struggling and aren't truly born again to think the word is unfair. Lord Jesus, we worship you. We adore you tonight, Lord God. Lord, I pray, we don't want to have a picnic with the devil, but what we want to have is a Song of Solomon banquet to where his banner over me is love. You know, Satan can't stay around certain atmospheres and environments. It must be a certain atmosphere to be conducive for him. It's the same way with you, Lord. You must have an environment to live in. Help us to realize we have the opportunity to create one or the other. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. El Shaddai. Mighty Elohim. We believe you are the Christ. Not just our Savior, our priest, our King, our lover, our Lord, our resurrection, our life. Lord Jesus, we desire a banquet with you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. May your left hand embrace us. May your right hand be under our head. Oh God. Hallelujah. May we enter into such fellowship and worship with you, Adonai. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Let's just raise our hands for a few minutes, friends. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Jesus don't want a picnic. He's getting you ready for a supper. A marriage supper. Praise God. We're not here tonight for a picnic lunch with Jesus. But we've got a 7-course meal for all 7 seals are opened. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Lord Jesus, we adore you, Father. We worship you tonight, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sing together, Harry. I worship you, Almighty God, Prince of Peace. Let's worship him together now. Now don't get in your mind that we're here for a picnic with Jesus and we got to rush on and hurry and go eat somewhere. What better food could you eat than being right here in the presence of God? Let's just spend a few minutes now in the court of the King. You've been invited into his gates, Esther. He stretched out his rod to you. The scepter has been stretched out to you. Come, Esther, touch the top of it. He stretched it out to you as his sign of receiving you. Now you come, as tradition was, you come and touch the top of the scepter, which means you acknowledge that you are accepted. Let's worship him now a little bit. Sing it for us.
I worship you.
Let's sing it together now.
Oh my,
you're at a banqueting table now. The table's been spread out by the Lord Jesus.
There is none.
There's food, drink, nourishment, uplifting, whatever you need. It's right here on the table.
I worship.
Hallelujah.
You.
Yes, we do, Jesus.
Oh, Prince of peace.
My God.
That is what I want to do.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I worship you. Almighty God. There is none like.
Praise God. Let's worship him together now. Wave your hands to him as we sing it. I worship you,
Almighty God.
Yes, Lord.
There is none like you.
I worship. Tell him, children, you're my prince
of peace.
That is what I long to do. I give you praise, for you are my Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. One night with the King. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus. One night with the King changes every scene. One day in his courts, let's say it now, did forever change.
change my course. One moment in His presence, oh, I've never been the same. One night with the King, it changes everything. Everybody, oh, praise God. One night with the King changes everything. One day in His courts, you remember? It forever changed my course. One moment in His presence, oh, I've never been the same. One night with the King truly changes everything. From the desert to the King, it had been my destiny to be chosen for such a time as this. I didn't know that all my dreams could become realities. Then I saw His face, His love captured me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm kind of homesick for
Thank God time won't matter anymore. With all of our hearts now, you have left. I'm longing for you. Yes, Lord, and someday. Together again.
Sweet, beautiful land. stay.